We've been talking about freedom. Freedom this month. We've been talking about freedom and freedom for change. Jesus has already paid for your freedom. Let me say that again. Jesus has already paid for your freedom. If that's the case, why aren't I free? Why don't I feel free? Why aren't I acting free? Why aren't I in the freedom that He paid for? And we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to see some things. But I just believe this is so cool. God wants you to know how free you are. I'm going to do a series at some point. I don't know. You know, if the Lord doesn't come back, on being in Christ and what that means. Because I heard this testimony of a man who had a vision when he first got saved, or actually when he came back to the Lord and was walking with the Lord. He had this vision and he saw Jesus on the cross. Just get this picture for a minute. He saw Jesus on the cross, but he saw himself in Jesus on the cross. Literally saw himself in... There's been movies before of these big monster things and, you know, these big robot things coming, and there's this little guy that's sitting on the top of the thing moving the controls, but that little thing is in the robot. But he saw himself in Jesus in his death, and then he saw Jesus in his burial. He saw himself with Jesus in the burial tomb. But then he saw himself in Jesus in the resurrection, but it wasn't him any longer. It was one that was changed. Yeah. Think about that for just a minute. Because Father, Jesus prayed some awesome prayers in John 17. He said, Father, the glory that you had and that you gave me and that I've had, I give to them the same glory. And God, you in them and you in me and us together, it's like saying, I'm actually in Christ. And being in Christ gives me access to everything that He's produced for me. Is that off? That's so good. Just so good. I'll develop that later. But John chapter 8. Let's go to John chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 30. These are our keynote scriptures for the series, but I just want to read them over again. Verse 30 says, and he spoke these words, many believed on him. Everybody say believed. Then Jesus said to those who believed on him, how many in here believe? Right? Okay, now Jesus is speaking to you right now. He says, spoke to them, and he said, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him and said, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, and you shall be made free? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave to the sin. How many could say amen to that? A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. And we're going to talk about the difference about trying to be right with God by ourselves or through our effort, and the difference of being in Christ and letting His freedom, right, that He purchased, come out through you in Jesus' name. In other words, are there some things that we need to do? Believe. Are there some things we need to do? Yeah, believe. What do I need to do? I need to believe. What do I need to believe? Whatever He said. Whatever He said, I believe. And not only do I believe it, that's how I'm going to live my life out. And let me just say it this way. If He said, don't sweat it, I'm not going to sweat it. My dad gave me a philosophy years ago, and it's been good for me. He said, Bruce, Don't sweat the small stuff. How many know small things can gain a momentum, and all of a sudden as you're losing your whole Jesus because of small things? Well, my father said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's so good, right? So we've got to figure out what he's promised, become a disciple or a doer of what he's promised, and freedom will be there. You shall know the truth. After you become a disciple, you shall know the truth. And that truth that you know, and that word know here is not just, yep, I got it memorized. I've got it memorized. No, the truth that he's talking about is this, the truth that you perceive, and that he's made real to you, and it's become a part of who you are now. Right? It's become a part of who you are. You shall know the truth. You shall have an intimate knowledge of the truth. That's why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians said, I pray that you would get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. Why? Because in that type of relationship, God's going to speak to you about you, and he's going to show you what he's done in use for your freedom to be available 24/7. Is that awesome? I think that's awesome. I want some of that. If he said I'm free indeed, then I'm free indeed. I'm free indeed. I said I'm free indeed. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to see some things here. And maybe some hindrances to that freedom that we never even realized. You know, the enemy's a sly fox. And sometimes he doesn't come at us from a frontal assault. He comes at us through the side. Right? Offenses are like that. You think, well, I've got a right to be offended. And the devil's going, did you hear what they said about you? That wasn't fair. And builds it up and builds it up and builds it up and builds it up. And pretty soon you're hooked. And he's taking you down a path of anxiety, of frustration. And peace is so far from you because you've been hooked by an offense. And that's why he doesn't want us to even hold on to offense. You know, he said, do not be offended. Don't be offended. That's not a suggestion. He didn't say it would be nice if you weren't offended. Try your best not to be offended. He said, don't be offended. So you know what I choose to do? Not be offended. And some of you make it really hard. Don't look at your neighbor. Some of you make it really hard. Glory to God. Not really. I just choose. I had a pastor, I don't know him, but I was listening to him. He said, yeah, he said, I forgive everybody in Home Depot before I go into the store. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, other by a free woman. He was of the bondwoman, was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise. Now this is a symbolization that he's putting here, and he's saying, look at, there was one who was born, and I can't go into it in great detail, but there was one who was born because God promised Abraham something, and they figured God couldn't handle it on his own. So we're going to get involved. Sarah said, man, I'm old. This isn't happening. I know God promised. He wants to bring it. So let's bring Hagar in. And they're mixing God's promise with their effort caused a problem. And it'll cause you a problem. It'll cause me a problem. And we'll never be able to get the promise fulfilled until we get back onto God, this is your deal. This, you're doing it. Okay. It says, but he who is of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, he that was of the free woman according to the promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai that gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. And Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of all, for it is written. Listen, what's he saying? He's saying, look at the old covenant. Under the old covenant, there was bondage brought. Why was there bondage? Because it was built on you do and you will be. You do this and you'll be righteous. Don't do that or you'll be unrighteous. You do and you'll be. How many know that that's an impossible situation to fulfill? He's going to go on to say that listen, if you're under that system, you're toast. And watch this. Even if you think that you're doing the best in it, like nobody's ever done it before, he said if you fall on one little part of it, then you've failed it all. You flunked the test. You flunked the test. For it is written, verse 27, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, for you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she shall who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, were children of the promise. But as we were born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. What is this saying? This is saying that you're born out of the promise that came through the seed of Abraham, but that promise was based on him and not on you. In other words, God did all of the work. He did all of the work. In other words, he's the one who sent his son, and his son died in your place. And when he was on the cross bearing those sins, you were in him because your sin was nailed there, right? You were in him. You were nailed there together with him. When he was buried, you were buried because you deserved to be in the ground dead and apart from God. But then you were raised with him. Come on. You were in him, and it wasn't because of what you did. It's because of your association with the free woman. Come on. We're free because Jesus paid the price for our freedom. Let me say that one more time. We are free because Jesus paid the price for our freedom. I can do nothing to add any effort for that freedom to be mine. And the minute that I start doing it, I'm in trouble. Now watch this. Watch this. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangle again in the yoke of bondage. See, sometimes freedom causes you to stand. If you want to be free, then you have to make a stand. But a stand on what? On a promise. Not on your effort. Because the minute that you try to be good enough, the minute that you, I've got to pray enough, I've got to fast enough, I've got to, you know, study enough, I've got to witness enough, whenever you get into that system, then you're back under the bondage of that system. It doesn't mean we're not supposed to be right, that we're not supposed to pray. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when I have to get under that system to become righteous or feel righteous or think that I'm righteous, then I'm completely back in bondage. And Paul's saying, hey, don't do that. And let me just give you the history of why he's saying this. Because this was a Gentile church born of Paul's preaching, and freedom came, and they all received Jesus as their Savior. And then some folks that have been referred to as Judaizers came in. And when they came in, they said, look, that's all great. And yeah, you're Jesus, you're joint heir with Jesus. Jesus is for you. Jesus is with you. That's awesome. But if you really want to be saved, you need to take what was been given to you freely, and now you need to be circumcised. You need to fall back under the regulation of the Old Testament in order to really be saved. You're a little bit saved, but you need to be really saved. You've gotten a little bit of it, but you need more of it. The minute that type of thinking comes into play, get a hold of that and say, oh, no, 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 no. Because that is bringing me back into a system where I have to participate in the activity of becoming righteous. The only way to be righteous is to accept His death, burial, and resurrection. Period. Why am I right with God? Because Jesus took my place. Why am I right with God? Because I'm in Jesus. I refuse to go back into the system that dictates my acceptance in God on my behavior. It's not easy to stand on this type of freedom. Why? Because even your mind is telling you how rotten you are. Even your mind is reminding you of the sin that you committed, not just yesterday, but last week, last year, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. If you would have only done this, then you could have really been used by God. If you really had done this, then everything would have been okay. If you had really see, that is getting back into the system of Hagar. Where I need to be in the system of Jesus. And the system of Jesus is, He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when I sin and when I blow it, when I miss it, I said, Father, forgive me. But I'm not coming to you trying to earn my way back into your presence. I'm believing that the blood of Jesus was enough so that I could stand in the liberty or the freedom to have access with you. I'm not trying to get right with God. I am right with God. Let me say that again. I refuse to try to get right with God. I'm just like you. And I have times and thoughts in my head, well, you know, if I'd have only done this, I'd probably be a better preacher. If I only done this, I'd be a better pastor. If I'd only done this, my church would be bigger. If I only did this, what that is bondage trying to come and swallow the peace and the joy and the love that God has for me, and trying to swallow and put me back under the bondage of walking my faith out according to law. Stop it. I refuse it. I won't do it. Because I have liberty. I have liberty. I have liberty. I have freedom to have access to Him because of the work that He's done for me. Amen? Look at this now. Verse 2, it says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That's a strong statement. If you go back under the bondage of trying to keep the law, then Christ profits you nothing. Why? Because it, watch this, to walk in the freedom that is in Jesus, you have to be fully dependent upon the reality that He did everything and I can do nothing. What's my part? I just believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Come on, we're talking about standing in freedom. Verse 4 says, you've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. How many want to fall from grace? I know people, listen, and I don't want to offend anybody, but if you're offended, just deal with it. Years ago, I had a lady that was coming to church for a while, and you know, she wore the yarmulke and you know, had the prayer shawl and everything. I'm not against any of that, but she had that all. She came up to me, we need to pray over the children. And when she came up to me to pray for me, you know, for me to pray, she brought her prayer shawl and put it over my head. Now, again, I'm not against, if that's what you want to do, that's great. But I immediately took that off and said, I don't need this. I have a prayer shawl in my office. I have nothing against them. But I am not going to go back under the bondage of the regulation when I have freedom in Christ. My prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus, because I'm in Jesus, gives me access to the presence of God. So I refuse to go under the bondage of those regulations. Hallelujah. Paul said it so succinctly in many places in the New Covenant, but yet I see people that just go back under that bondage. And while you're living in that bondage, then you can't be in the freedom that Jesus has paid for. He paid for freedom, but your freedom is totally and completely dependent on what He did. Are you getting anything? Come on. For in Christ, Jesus, listen to this. Oh, wait, I'll back up. Verse 5. For through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith working through love. How do I stand in freedom? I stay in faith and I stay in love. I stay in faith and I stay in love. I stay in faith that God is in me, I'm in God, and the life that I'm living by faith in the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me, and I have access to His power, His ability, and He's the one who's helping me through. Right. If you find somebody that's unlovable, you're trying to love them in you. Instead of asking God to give you His heart for them, and then you can love them through His heart. Because you have access to that. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Watch this. I'm hesitant to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Glory to God. I know I'll be more holy if I keep the feast. Nothing wrong with the feast. Nothing wrong with celebrating the feast. Nothing wrong with observing and figuring out what the feast of... But if you're going to try to get holier by keeping it, you've put yourself back under bondage. I refuse to do that. Now watch this. The Sabbath. Jesus is my Sabbath. Amen. He is my rest. Amen. Paul said, if one wants to worship God on Saturday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you have Jesus living on the inside of you. And He's freed you from the regulations of do to be. To faith to be. It's faith in Him that causes me to be righteous. It's faith in Him that gives me freedom. Look at verse 13. Because I want to show you this too. It's kind of another side of it. For brethren, you've been called to liberty. Isn't that good news? Or freedom? I've been called to freedom. I've been called to freedom. For you have been called to freedom. But watch this, he says. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You know, the flesh has two different determining factors or sides to it. One of the flesh is my ability to do. But the other side of that flesh is my greed to want. my covetousness, my lust, all the, that has something to do with it. Don't use your liberty. In other words, some people say, well, grace, grace, grace. God's grace is all over you, and it is. But so just do whatever you want because it's okay. If you want to live your life any way you want to live, Jesus has already paid for your price for your sin. That's stupid with a capital S. Why? Because that kind of behavior will kill you. Let me say that again. That kind of behavior will kill you. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love the Lord, your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by it. I say this, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, being free in Jesus and then going back to some of the things that He's freed you from is not wise. It's just not wise. If you've been freed from that, why go back to that? And yet the enemy is always going to come knocking at your door. Can I just be honest and open with you? I'm going to be, and so don't gasp. But before I got saved, I had favorite magazines, and they weren't, you know, Sport and Field. Right? And you know, it was... hidden as a little, you know, as a teenage boy, you know, hidden in the woods, we had this magazine or that magazine. It just grew and grew and grew. So there was a lust involved with the pornography that was in those magazines. And that's a strong hold for a man. Because men are visually stimulated and it's drawn to that. It's so deceptive and so wrong. But watch that. I got freed from that when I got saved. But I have to guard myself to this day from not going back there. And with the internet and different things, see, I have to treat what I used to be as dead. That's no longer who I am. It's like this. That old sin is like the snake who was came up to a riverbank and there was a gorilla there. And the gorilla was going to go to the other side. And the snake says, hey, listen, you know, why don't you... just let me go on your back and I'll just go with you to the other side. And the girl said, no, man, you bite. You know, your bite kills people. I'm not going to let you get near me. And the snake's, oh, come on, man. You know, we're talking, we're having a good conversation. We're buddies. I mean, this is all good. Just let me come on your, you know, shoulders and you can help me get to the other side. And so the gorilla finally goes, okay, that's cool. Puts him on, starts walking across, get almost to the other side, and snake bites. And the gorilla goes, man, I thought you said you wouldn't bite. And the snake says, I'm a snake. Snakes bite. See, that sin that you used to be in, when it comes back, it says, well, you know, a little bit's not going to be, you know, it's not going to hurt you any. So So the balance to this freedom and the liberty that we walk into is to recognize those snakes that have been in our lives. And when it comes to them, we run from them and we kick them out and we say, no, I will no longer go into the bondage that was, because it kept me from the freedom in the first place, and I refuse to go back to it. Now, as Christians, you guys are probably all holy and never have gotten into anything like that. But me, right? There's some things that I've played with a little bit. And yet it leads back to bondage. Let me just give you one. How about gossip? How about gossip, backbiting, devouring one? Man, that's deadly. Right? That's the snake coming up to your ear and whispering into your ear and pulling you away from the Eden that is God's presence. Yes. And you have to say, no, 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 no. I'm going to stand in the liberty that God gave me. So here's the two points to that. I refuse in my flesh to try to do anything to be more right with God, because He's done it all, and I'm just going to believe in them, in Him. But I'm also going to recognize the weakness of my flesh, and I refuse to live out of my flesh, but out of my spirit, because my spirit has been made right with God. And so therefore, anything that's from the past or bondage or I refuse that. I refuse to entertain that. You know what that gorilla should have done with that snake? You know what you should do with your lying? With your gossip? With your hatred? With your rejection? Right? With anything that keeps you out of the freedom that God has given to you, you must stand against it and walk into the liberty of it. Hallelujah. You've been called. I've been called to liberty. Freedom. That's what we're supposed to walk in. Amen. Let's another scripture and we'll close. This isn't my first closing. This is my long closing. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. See, those who've come out of the old and into the new. That came away from the bond woman and came into the woman of promise. To those like precious faith with the righteousness of God by our and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by virtue and glory. You know, you can meditate on that, and all of us who've been in that place, well, I just can't do it. I can't quit doing this. I can't love them. I can't forgive them. Are you kidding me? Listen to what this says. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. In other words, He's given you everything that you need, but you need to walk in Him. You need to rely on Him. You need to trust in Him. By which you've been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promise, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. but also for this very reason, giving all diligence to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For these, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying? We need to walk with Him, in Him, for Him, because He's already set us free from everything that we need to be set free from. You already, come on, watch this. You already have freedom. And if we've gone back into a system that's stolen that freedom, just repent of that. Just come back to Jesus. Say, Jesus, like we sang this morning, you're all I need. You're all I've ever wanted. Come on. It's Jesus. Jesus did everything for your freedom, but you need to walk in light of that freedom. And you need to get your mind, listen, I'm just walking after Jesus. If the devil comes to you and say, well, you're not enough, you say, yeah, that's right. The devil says you can't do it enough. You're right. You're right. But I'm not in myself and by myself. It's because it's in Him and through Him that I have the ability to do whatever He wants to please me, to please Him. Watch. It's so good. There's in Philippians chapter 2, there's a verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But the next verse says, but it's God who gives you the will to do His will. In other words, the way to work out your salvation with fear and trembling is to put your faith back in God, who's able to keep you, who's able to save you, who's able to... Are you hearing what I'm saying? What I'm saying this morning is you're free. Amen. Unless you listen to the snake. You're free unless you try to become more holy by your own effort. You're free, so walk in that freedom. Amen? Man, y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah! He's worthy of our praise. I said He's worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, just keep bringing insight into it, revelation into it. I just pray, Lord, that the seed that I've sown this morning by Your Spirit will go into the heart of each person here. And the Lord will just let it grow in us. If we've been trying to perform to please You, Lord, forgive us for that. We want to perform because of Your love that's been put inside of us. We just want to do what You want us to do. Allow us to do that. Father, for all those that are watching online, sitting at home right now, I just pray Your presence into their room right now in Jesus' name. And all of you that are sitting there on your couch, in your recliner, wherever you are, just close your eyes for a minute and just let out a deep old breath and say, oh, I'm through trying, but I am believing. Right now, Lord, just let that peace saturate their hearts and minds right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that You're touching them, healing them. If you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I need a Savior. I believe Jesus is that Savior. I believe that He died for my sins. He was raised again for my justification. Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. I give You my life right now in Jesus' name. If you did that, your eternity has been changed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come on up, we're just going to work.